Good morning. Today is this awkward little day that happens in the middle of Advent. We talked last week about how the season of Advent is one that is penitential in nature. It's a mini, a small version of Lent. And so we've had a couple of weeks to talk about hope, and we've talked about peace. And today we get this strange thing happening in a penitential season, and we're told to rejoice. Wait a minute, I'm supposed to be being penitential. How do I balance those two things in the same breath? And yet we're called to do that because our rejoicing is not in ourselves, but our rejoicing is in what Christ has done for us. And so we get an example in the gospel. I'm going to come back to it in a little bit more in a minute. But we get an example in the gospel of John the Baptist. We know a lot about him. We've been given a lot in scripture about him. He walked around eating locust and wearing, camel hair clothing. That doesn't sound like, I don't want to eat camel hair clothing, and I don't want to eat locust. That doesn't sound like fun. But wait, but John rejoiced. And the scripture passage we get this morning, John's in prison, and the disciples come, and they begin to tell him about Jesus. And John, in the midst of being in prison, finds joy. We said in the opening comments, joy is not an emotion. It's not a moment. It's not necessarily something I feel. It's a presence of being. And we find that rejoicing because of what the Lord has done for us and what He continues to do for us. In the first reading this morning, we hear from the Old Testament about there's going to come a day when you're going to return to the promised land. You're going to return to all the blessings that God has promised you. And when you do, you will go there rejoicing. You will not go there mourning what has been lost. You'll be rejoicing in what has been gained. I heard from the time I was a little bitty child, yesterday is gone. And tomorrow isn't promised. We better live in today. And I got to be honest with you, the older I get and the more experiences I have in life, the more I realize the deep truth in that statement that I was told as a child. Yesterday's gone. We cannot go and change it. We can't change the good. We can't change the bad. We've got to deal with yesterday. Tomorrow isn't promised. We can plan for it, but it's not promised. But we better live in today. And if we're going to live in today, we must live rejoicing because the Lord is who gave us today. He is the reason we breathe and move and have our being. In fact, here's what Jesus says about joy. Jesus says, as he's speaking to his disciples, I've come to give you my joy so that your joy might be complete. What does that tell us about joy? Joy isn't something, much like love, joy isn't something that we can create for ourselves. We can create happiness, but that's a fleeting moment. We can't create joy. Joy is something that must come from a deep-rooted place within our faith that comes from God, and He gives it to us as a gift. But even in the hard times, even in the difficult times, we can rejoice. But that also means in the good times, in the celebratory times, we can rejoice as well. The rejoicing doesn't stop. In fact, I would argue it helps to temper things. It helps to make the bad times better. It helps to bring us a little bit off that mountain time in the good times so we don't get too high up and have to fall. I've heard it said before, and I could see the man's face who said it, and I'm sorry in the moment, I can't remember his name, but Lou Holtz. See, it come to me. I just had to tell you I didn't know his name. Football coach from days of old, coach at Notre Dame, coach at Arkansas, coach at South Carolina. He's known among college football as coach. That's just what they call Lou Holtz. But Lou Holtz is a very religious man. He loved coaching at Notre Dame because he's a devout Catholic. And he said one time, if you want to be happy for a day, go buy a nice steak dinner. If you want to be happy for a week, go on a cruise. If you want to be happy for a lifetime, find your faith in Christ Jesus. Happiness is an emotion, and very often we confuse it with joy. When we read the word joy or rejoicing in Scripture, we go, oh, that's to be happy. It's not happy in the way that we think of the word happy. Rejoicing is a state of being. We can rejoice in all times and in all places. And so we hear this morning in the gospel reading yet again this message that we have been given an eternal hope. Not a hope of something that good that might happen. We've been given an eternal hope, a promise that Christ has done something for us. And what He has done is not something that is in the past, it is something that is in the present. We heard it said in two different readings this morning, the kingdom of heaven is at hand, the kingdom of God is at hand. The kingdom of God isn't at hand, meaning it's something we're going towards. We will arrive in the presence of God at some point in time in the future. But the kingdom of God is at hand because Christ has come to earth to live and die as one of us to give us joy. And this season, this day, is set aside to celebrate with rejoicing the coming of Christ, our Savior, to us. This is called Gaudete Sunday. Vi walked a minute ago and she goes, "You have never worn anything that pink before." Her memory is getting bad. Twice a year, we get to wear pink. But today is called Gaudete Sunday. And the spirit behind this day within Advent is it is the day we think of or speak of or celebrate the rejoicing that the shepherds had when the angels came to them. They rejoiced because something exciting was going on. Can you imagine for a moment? We talk about the different aspects of the nativity, but can you imagine for a moment you're a shepherd? You spend your life out following, leading these sheep around, giving them food and giving them water, bringing them into a shelter or a safe place at night. This is your life. Kind of a mundane kind of life. And all of a sudden, angels appear. I don't know about you, but that's kind of awe-inspiring for me. The angels appear and they begin to sing to them and they begin to tell them, "Hey, all that has been waited for is happening. It's now. Now is the time. Go. We're going to show you where. You're going to go and you're going to find a baby lying in a manger, and he is the Messiah." And one of the great questions that came out of that day and time is, how can the Messiah be here when Elijah hasn't yet come back? Because the prophecies had spoken of Elijah returning. And we hear this morning a little bit of the gospel that leads us to the understanding of that. But John the Baptist, Jesus himself says, is the evidence of Elijah. But John's coming as the one who paved the way, who led the way. He was the evidence of Elijah. And so he had come to do what? To make a way. So as the Messiah came, as Jesus came, the preparations had been made that people's eyes and ears and hearts would be open to receive him. Brothers and sisters, we have the joy of living in the aftermath of this. We have 2,000 years of history and evidence to look back on and see the glory of God made manifest in the world around us. Let us rejoice in the season, for the kingdom of God is at hand, and Christ has come to us in the incarnation. Amen. Amen.